This is a rain replay from 1999.
This is the rain report. The 902 to 928 MHz band is one of ham radio's better kept secrets. CQVHF microwave and antenna columnist Kent Britton, WA5VJB, has experimented on 902 since the FCC allocated it on a shared basis to the U.S. Amateur Service in the early 90s.
It was originally a series of commercial frequencies that were set aside as what might be considered as an advanced CB band, or an extension of what we would consider like for our 49 megahertz cordless phones and so forth. Only it was a much larger set of frequency bands, and the FCC, in addition to allowing it to be used for consumer devices and industrial devices, also allowed amateurs to simultaneously use it. Approximately about 8 or 9 years ago, hams were given access to it. Prior to that, it was what was known as an ISM, which is Industrial, Scientific, and Medical band, which allowed them to use the equivalent of microwave heaters, induction heaters, diathermy machines for medical uses. I hate to call it a garbage band, but it's certainly a well-tracked band.
How is it divvied up?
Amateurs are allowed to use from 902.0 to 928.0. The only limitation that we have in this band is what's called the vehicle locating service. A company called Pactel Teltrac and a later one known as Pinpoint set up equipment which allowed them to track transmitters inside vehicles. This way they knew the position of the vehicles to a matter of several meters. They turned in a petition about 6 years ago to ban all ham activity from 902-928. So there was a petition to the FCC to eliminate 26 megahertz of amateur band. Only one ham radio operator in North America filed comments in opposition. That was me.
How come we tend to lose it?
For a large number of reasons, including the pointing out that the technical challenges that Pactel Teltrac was making to us were not valid. Interestingly, Pactel Teltrac has gone from massive expansion programs down to the best of my knowledge only operating in two cities anymore, and Pinpoint Communications has declared bankruptcy. Legally, we cannot interfere with the vehicle locating services, but unless you live in Dallas and Los Angeles, those are essentially gone. The GPS systems were far cheaper, far easier to use, and technology passed them by.
In an unrelated observation, it's amazing that after they go through all of the rigmarole of wanting the spectrum, they, in the long term, don't use it, just as UPS abandoned 220 after they went through the whole rigmarole of having that reallocated.
Being a very active on 220 as well and very familiar with that, that's certainly a case where if some officials with the FCC had a chance to do it over again, they would not have taken the band away from us. But after having done that, they had to save face and couldn't give it back.
What kind of equipment can you use on 900 volt that's available today or surplus?
There are a couple of what I would consider to be Japanese CB radios that operate in the 904 megahertz region, but they're rather expensive and rather limited. Of course, if you go down to your local circuit emporium, you can pick up a variety of 900 megahertz cordless devices which are in the ham band today. And these are all permitted to be used as either consumer devices or as hams. And, of course, we can always put a little bit bigger antenna on it and run a little power. At the moment, there's a group that's taking some 900 meg RF links for computers. And since we're hams, we can now run more power and are setting up 900 meg packet systems here in the Texas area.
But this equipment technically is not type accepted for amateur.
If you're amateur and you're building it yourselves, type accepted's not a problem.
But if you're modifying,
then it's amateur, it's yours, and you're not selling it. This is not a problem.
Okay.
If you want to build you a 40-meter novice rig using an 807 tube, you don't have to have it type accepted. You're just simply responsible for any emissions. The most common use is transverters. Downeast Microwave makes a transverter which takes your 2-meter signal, converts it up to 900 megs, and then takes 900 meg signals and converts them back to 2 meters. Quite a few of those around. There's also some other companies making transverters. Perhaps the biggest user of 900 megahertz is ATV. On the West Coast, a lot of the 900 meg ATV systems are running AM video. All the systems here in Texas, and we have an extensive ATV system, all run FM video. And once you've run FM video, you don't go back to AM video.
Why FM?
In order to get a good, clean, sharp picture, AM video needs 17 dB more signal than FM video. That's a factor of 50. So that means 2 watts of FM video go further than 100 watts of AM video. Just think of all those geostationary satellites in orbit transmitting video down. They run FM video, not AM.
Why would I want to operate 902 to 928?
Why do you want to operate any particular band? It's amateur and it's there. It certainly provides for some interesting propagation. There's a lot of equipment becoming available. And it's a bit of a fun band, and certainly a place where you've got 26 megahertz to play around with and experiment as much as you want.
Let's talk about the propagation.
The propagation is really quite good. I personally run about 175 watts of sideband on 900 megahertz. Then the propagation is somewhat similar to what it would be on, say, 400 megahertz. However, if you're having any tropospheric bending caused by weather fronts, the opening is more pronounced at 900 megs than at 450. So 900 megs would open up first and close up last when you have tropo openings. It scatters very well, bouncing off of just about anything in the atmosphere. And we typically don't have any trouble talking out to 100, 150 miles any time of the day or night.
Using what for an antenna?
Loop Yagis are a very popular antenna. About a 20-element Loop Yagi works out to about 7 or 8 feet long and will give you somewhere in the neighborhood of 15, 16 dB gain. Another type of called a cheap Yagi will be published in CQVHF, and that's a very easy-to-build Yagi antenna for 900 megs.
How many people are on 902 to 928 nationally?
That would be very difficult on the how to break it up. There's probably several hundred on single sideband. There are a few 900 meg repeaters, but not very many because equipment's difficult to get for the traditional FM. I know that there's close to 100 on in the Houston area on ATV alone. Thin by, shall we say, 2 meter and 450 standards, but certainly more than on, say, 220.
I'm speaking with Ken Britton, WA5VJB, of the Dallas, Texas area. We're talking about 902 to 928 megahertz. We'll be right back. This is the Rain Report.
This is a Rain Replay from 1999.
Are you aware of any special applications that hams have put 902 to 928 to?
The spread spectrum packet nodes are perhaps the most interesting, allowing you to take existing spread spectrum RF links and use them in packet systems. This allows you to have some very, very high gain antennas. Allows us to use a lot of surplus from the cellular telephone industry and run a fair amount of power with good filters.
What about FM repeaters?
Again, very rare because single sideband equipment's fairly common. Transverters are common. ATV equipment is common. But none of the Japanese companies are making rigs which cover the whole 900 meg band, to my knowledge. And you probably won't see them in the near future because the U.S. would be the only market, and most of the 800 meg commercial equipment would be very challenging to move up far enough to get into, say, a 910 in, 920 out repeater.
What are the splits that you need for repeaters on 902?
Several people have been using some different splits. That's going to be a local coordination issue, but you could probably use almost anything you wanted to use. No national standard. A lot of people have talked about modifying cell phones to operate up there, and the amplifiers, the filters, the receivers are certainly capable of going up into the 900 meg band, but the cell phones have to, are computer controlled. They have to have the logic circuits command them to go up to these new bands. So this would require you to really take the entire microprocessor out of the cell phone, decompile it, write a new operating system for it, and then put it back in. So modifying cell phones is probably not going to be the future to our 900 meg ham band. However, the cell sites have been a different matter. The cellular sites, the first and second generation ones, are being decommissioned. And this has given us literally tons and tons of 900 meg surplus equipment floating around. I have modified perhaps, well, I've worked with at least 10 different power amplifiers that have come out of cellular telephone cell sites. And every one of them worked in the 900 meg band without any trouble. Most of those really high-class filters they put in there will tune up to our 900 meg band. Plus, we get all the connections, receiver preamps. The preamps work fine in our ham band as well, and many other parts. Thus far, I have probably drug home well over 1,000 pounds of cellular telephone cell site stuff.
I understand that if you operate at the very bottom of 902 on sideband, it's really very quiet. Why is that?
Well, as you know, we are sharing the band with cordless telephones, various little VCR rabbits or video links, some computer modems, and there's some other services out there. So the center of the band tends to be somewhat noisy. The vast majority of these services are vertically polarized. So just by flipping your antennas over and running horizontal for all your services does wonders for knocking down this noise floor. Also, the spread spectrum system requires them to hop around, and it's fairly broad-banded of noise. Well, FCC requires that they do not put out any energy outside of the band. So that means in their hopping and modulation schemes, they must avoid the edges of the band. So if you're up near the near 928 or down near 902 and horizontally polarized, the band is as quiet as any of our other ham bands.
Probably quieter because 2 meters, of course, has that residual noise from just from sheer activity, spurs, and so forth, whereas you probably don't have as much problem on 902 with that.
It's probably a similar noise level because there's certainly a lot of other junk out there making noise. You also get a little bleed over from cellular telephone sites and so forth. But with a reasonably decent filter on the front end of your receiver, you can go just about down to the galactic noise floor and go after weak signals. And there are several stations here in Texas and Oklahoma who are capable of running 902 moon bounce.
Have you?
I have not personally. My 175 watts of sideband, while big by terrestrial standards, is a little thin for moon bounce.
Ken, if someone wants to read more about antennas and so forth regarding 902 and other microwave bands, I understand you have a publication or two out. Tell me about those.
Well, each year the North Texas Microwave Society sponsors a conference known as Microwave Update, and we've been doing this for 12 years. We normally produce about a 300 to 400 page proceedings, which is all of our notes, and the conference is limited to 900 megs and up. So the Microwave Update conferences and all the notes from everything we've been doing are available from through the ARRL. There's also a lot of material in the Central States VHF Society proceedings, and we're going to have some articles in CQVHF here and in the coming months on cellular telephone stuff that you can look for in the flea markets. Certainly a band for growth with 26 megahertz, which, I mean, you take everything we have on HF and put it together and all the spaces in between, that's how much room we have on this band. Such a tremendous possibility for ATV group growth, for spread spectrum packet growth, terrestrial growth as far as talking on sideband and so forth. I don't see the growth on that band being repeaters, being chopped up like the 2 meter and 450 band. But if you're into experimentation, it's the place to go.
I've been speaking with Ken Britton, WA5VJB of Grand Prairie, Texas, an expert in the 902 to 928 megahertz amateur band. And Ken, thanks so much for your time today, and let's hope we get some more activity in 902. This is the Rain Report.
This has been a Rain Replay from 1999.